Well, he's got it all under control, doesn't he? That's the message from Job, is that he is in control. And Job came to that. You know, in my Bible, I wrote a sermon idea from Devotions the other week. In all this, Job sinned not with his lips. Twice it says that in Job. You know why? Because constantly the Lord kept talking to Job in the midst of all that, brought him through all of that. Of course, those chapters towards the end, God is speaking in chapter 38. Job, can I ask you some questions? And Job didn't have any answers. Job was in awe of God. And tremendous, tremendous book to read through. However, whenever I read through Job, I'm always asking the Lord, Lord, what are you preparing me for? It's kind of a scary book to read through because, you know, a lot of suffering that Job experienced. Well, it's good to have you in church today. We want to thank the Lord for safety and getting here and pray for those that are traveling or will be coming in for the morning service, that the Lord would give them safety. I know there's some slick spots and some slippery out in the parking lot. I do want to thank Keith and Evan for their labors plowing yesterday and then putting some salt on, but you understand salt doesn't do much when you got this bottom level of ice that we're dealing with. We need the sun to hit it and melt it, and so but thank the Lord for these men that did the work to prepare it as they did for us today. I want to give you a couple of updates on a few things before we get into the lesson this morning. One is we thank the Lord that God protected Elizabeth Wachowiak the other day. If you didn't hear, Elizabeth was in an accident. Somebody came over into her lane over a hill and had no place to go. And thankfully, she was not injured and is okay. We praise the Lord for that. You may or may not have heard, if you're on the prayer chain, you would have heard, but Dustin Speckhouse is down in Florida today because his brother Adam, who has been to our camp, was killed in a car accident late the other night on his way home from work. His life was taken in that car accident. 22 years old, I believe. And so pray for that. We'll pray for the Murdoch family throughout the day, but obviously tough thing for Dustin to deal with, his sister, and then his parents, all of them, just a really, really heavy thing to bear in their lives. And then my parents left on Friday, arrived yesterday out to be with my grandmother, and we believe that she is soon to graduate to glory. Today, she's 92 years old, but she's been on morphine now for 3 or 4 days. And we're just praying that the Lord in mercy would take her home. And so my parents are out with her today out in Ohio. And I wanted to give you those things as we begin the Sunday school hour. And then I, for those of you that were going to be at church cleaning, obviously we have to rearrange that and reschedule what we had planned yesterday on that. And so we'll get dates to you. This coming week, pray for us. We, in the spring, as a staff, we pull away for 2 days, which we'll do on Tuesday and Wednesday. And really, those are planning days. The fall meeting that we do that is like that is more visionary for things that we're looking at for the church. The spring meeting is putting a lot of meat on the bones of things that we have planned throughout the rest of this year. And so we'll be in meetings on Tuesday and Wednesday. That being said, if you have an emergency or something, still feel free to call us. But meetings are important. I tell our guys, really about 20% of what we do here is planning. If you're going to have anything that's going anywhere, you have to take time to plan. And so that's kind of what these meetings are for in the spring and the fall, and we'll be doing that on Tuesday and Wednesday. We are on Judas King, number 12, Ahaz. If you do not have handout 21, raise your hand. We'll get you that one. And then we also have 22 today, dealing with Hezekiah. But if you're missing the handout on Ahaz, number 21, raise your hand first. And if you need 22, raise your hand. If you did not get this morning's handout, 22 on King Hezekiah, go ahead and raise your hand. We're working through the kings. We're getting actually toward the end. 22 up here, Brother Ralph, two or three up front here, 22. I don't know if I'm anybody else. Four up here. Get these young men handouts. So I would like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 16. 2 Kings 16 is where we will start reviewing Ahaz's life, trying to get you the rest of the notes there, the information, and then we might get into Hezekiah today. If we don't, we'll start next week on Hezekiah. But let's bow in prayer and pray over these needs as we start today. God, you're on the throne today, and Lord, we worship you as the God over all. Lord, there is no other gods. And Father, we're reminded today, Lord, that we worship the one true God. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. And Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the Word of God that you've given us, Lord, that is trustworthy, dependable, Lord, authoritative for our lives. And Lord, we pray today for those that are traveling, Lord, to be coming in for the morning service now, that you would keep them safe on the roads, other people that are traveling today. Lord, we pray that you keep us safe in the parking lots today, Lord, as there's ice out there. And Lord, that Lord, you would protect us this day. We thank you for protecting Elizabeth, Lord, the other day. And we want to praise you, Lord, that you watch over us. And thank you for that. Lord, we do lift up before you the situation in Ukraine today. And Lord, Mr. Putin, and Lord, all that is taking place there, Lord, it just seems like the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places, Lord, seems to have amped up a notch in that situation. And God, we pray that you would restrain the enemy, Lord, from having his way, Lord, in the taking of lives, Lord, and the oppression, Lord, that Ukraine is, Lord, experiencing. Lord, I think of Psalm 9 and 10, Lord, where you said the oppressed will not, the needy will not be forgotten. Lord, that you're a real refuge. And Lord, you deliver the oppressed. And so, God, just pray over those people, Lord. They're oppressed today. Lord, they're people that are hiding and, Lord, fearing their lives. And Lord, already lost loved ones. And God, we pray over them. We pray for our country. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for leaders to, Lord, have courage to make decisions that are best in mind for the whole of our nation. And Lord, we pray that we would be protected, Lord, and that you would watch out for America. And Lord, more importantly than that, we do pray for revival, Lord. We understand that, Lord, unless you do intervene in a miraculous way, and Lord, unless your people are revived, Lord, we know that, Lord, America is in a downward spiral spiritually and morally every which way. And so, Lord, we lift that up to you today. We also pray, dear God, for we think of my the Speckhouses and the Murdoch family, and Lord, the shock and the grief, and Lord, the numbness, and Lord, just, Lord, no understanding of these things. Help those dear people today, Lord. May your grace, Lord, minister to them in these days, Lord, that they sorrow. And God, we pray, Lord, for my grandmother today. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy. And Lord, just take her home to be with you. Thank you for the long life that you've given her, Lord. Pray for the family. That, Lord, you bring comfort to her children, Lord, grandchildren, relatives. Lord, we pray for that today. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'd open our eyes to your word, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in 2 Kings chapter number 16. Ahaz, just a little bit of review. You have your snapshot there in handout number 21. Ahaz reigned 16 years over Judah. We're talking about the southern kingdom. Judah made up of the two tribes, really, Judah and Benjamin. And he reigned after Jotham. Jotham had a pretty blameless reputation in the scriptures of following the Lord. He did not remove the high places. But yet, during his reign, we also know that Israel, the inside, the nation, was still spiraling out of control in a bad sense. Ahaz comes to the throne, and there's a number of things that happens, but he's a very wicked king. There's the attack on him from Syria and Israel, and we read about that 2 Kings chapter 16, and let's read verses 1 through 5. And let's see, got some teenagers up here today. Why don't you help me with my reading, and nice and loud, guys. But Austin, can you read verses 1 and 2? And Eric, can you read verses 3 through 5? And then Joel and Truman, I'll have you read another passage of Scripture. 2 Kings, Austin, 16, verses 1 and 2. Okay, verses 3 through 5, Eric. Okay, so he's attacked. He's attacked by Syria. There's a union between Syria and northern Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and they attack Ahaz here. And Ahaz is delivered, in a sense. And we learn a lot about Ahaz in these passages. The other passage that we learn about Ahaz in is 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles 28. They don't overcome Ahaz, but they certainly have an influence on Israel. And turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 28, and we'll look at some of the defeat that Ahaz experienced. Truman, I'm going to have you read, if you would, verse number 5, 6, and 7. And Joel, I'm going to have you read verses 8, 9, and 10, 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Okay, Truman?
Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus, and he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. For Pekah the son of Remaliah slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azrikam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, that was next to the king.
All right, verse number 8, Joel.
And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria.
All right, verse number 9 and 10 also. Okay, so a couple of things here. Understand that they attack Judah. And as they attack Judah, the Bible says in verse number 6, 120,000 were slain. Now, that's a fairly large number to be dead in a day. But that happened. In addition to that, Israel, that northern kingdom, carried away, in verse number 8, children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000. So this was no small conflict. If 120,000 are dead and 200,000 are carried away captive, 320,000 people in Judah, are life has changed quite dramatically. Now, there's a lot going on over in Ukraine and Russia that's big in our news. today. You may not be keeping up with it. I try to at least keep a little bit up with it every day. But we haven't had, I don't think, 10,000 slain over there. At least it's not coming across the news that there's that many slain, let alone 120,000. But we do have over a million that have left the country. That's a lot of people. A million people hit the borders out of the states. That's newsworthy. Here, 200,000 were carried away captive. And why? Verse number 6. Why were they carried away captive? Because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And God brings captivity. Verse number 17 now of 2 Chronicles 28. Look at it if you would. For again, the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. So you got Syria, you got northern Israel, you've got Edom, and you've got the Philistines in verse number 18. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah and had taken Beth-Shemesh and Ajalon, Gedereth and Shoko with the villages thereof, and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gimzo also in the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. Verse number 19. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. All this is taking place, but it's also pointing back to the leader and the people. Because of Ahaz, he brought Judah low, the Bible says. Because they, the people, had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, hey, all this happens in Judah. Let's identify Ahaz's mistakes. Give them to you. Number one, the decision of man-made worship. The decision of man-made worship. We see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse number 2. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire and the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Ahaz had the mentality, I'll worship God my way. And God saw that. And we have to be careful that we don't bring our way to the Lord. Anytime man tries to reach God his way, it fails. Tower of Babel fails. Works-oriented salvation fails. Worship that man enjoys but's not according to Scripture fails. And, you know, did he do this because, you know, he just wanted to make it hard on himself? No, he found some sort of fulfillment inside. He found some sort of acceptance inside that I like to worship this way. And God marks it in the Scriptures and says, you can't worship your way. There is a way to worship me, and he traded it in for other gods. Decision of man-made worship. Notice in verse number 13 of 2 Kings 16, if you go back there, you'll find in verse number 13, and he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering, and poured his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offering upon the altar. This is the king. Is the king supposed to be sacrificing on the altar? No. Is he doing it God's way? No, he's not. And God brings judgment on him for that mistake. Number two, the decision of misplaced reliance. The decision of misplaced reliance. Turn back to 2 Chronicles 28. 2 Chronicles 28. And Ahaz knows, hey, we're in trouble, man. We're under attack. Now, it's interesting to me today to watch what's happening in Russia and what's happening in Ukraine. And the nature of a leader that is in trouble and does not have the resources to get help is to what? call out to other nations. I'm certainly not knocking the leader of Ukraine. I'm just comparing to what we're seeing in Scripture. But don't you think that if it was our nation like that, that maybe the first thing that a godly president would do would call a prayer and fast and say, you know, before we go anywhere else, we better go to God. Ahaz, God wasn't in the front of his thoughts. And so he does what a normal person that is without God would do. He leaves God out of the equation. Right? And again, please understand, I'm not knocking what the president of Ukraine is doing. I think that anybody would naturally run there. But what I'm saying is, we should run to God first about everything that we're dealing with. He says in verse number 16 of 2 Chronicles 28, it says, "And at that time did King Ahaz send unto the king of Assyria to help him." In verse number 20 of the same chapter, "And Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him," and what? Distressed him. Was he a help? No, he made things worse. Bible says, "But strengthened him not." Oh, let's try this king to help me. Oh, that king can't help you. Now, Ahaz, the king of the universe, God. Do you think God could help? Do you think God might be able to intervene on your behalf? He didn't look there. Now, look at verse 21, because this creates a league now. He's asked Assyria for help, and it creates a league. And look at what Ahaz did. "For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria." Boy, now I feel indebted to him. We're going to take what belongs to the Lord, the house of the Lord, and we're going to give that to the king. And the Bible says, but what? He helped him not. Ahaz, let me have your attention. This is not working. Turning to Assyria is not working. In verse number 22, "In his distress," and in the time of his distress, "did he trespass yet more against the Lord." This is that King Ahaz. Man in distress, you would think, "Lord, I need your help. Lord, if you're there, show yourself to us." That wasn't Ahaz's response. In his distress, what did he do? He went and did more against the Lord. He went and violated more truth in his life. He went and crossed more lines. The word trespass means to cross the line. That's Ahaz's decision. Look at verse 24. Bible says, "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem." And these were not altars unto the Lord. If you understand the context of Damascus and you understand what his pattern of worship was, these were probably altars unto other gods. And he took that which was from the house of the Lord and he made other gods and created him altars all over the place. And false hope. We could say that Ahaz's trouble was he had false hope in men. Do we ever get there? I'm depending on so-and-so to come through for me. Better depend upon God. Better run to God first about it. The decisions of a misplaced reliance. Thirdly, the decisions of a brazen heart. The decision of a brazen heart. These were his mistakes. In 2 Chronicles 28, you know, throughout the kings we've been reading, and we'll find kings that did not follow the ways of David, their father. Now, not all of them is David, their immediate father, but it's really pointing to that line all the way back to David, that some walked in the ways of David. Jotham did, Ahaz's
father. By the way, Hezekiah did, Ahaz's son, which would be the next study that we do. But Ahaz didn't walk in the ways of David, his father. Well, what was the ways of David, his father? Well, if you look at 2 Chronicles 28 and you see verse number 22, Ahaz in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This is that King Ahaz. But if you contrast that with Psalm 18:6, where the psalmist David says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. That's a different heart, isn't it? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and the heart and the will acts. And Ahaz's distress, it revealed his brazen heart. I just continue to go in the direction that I'm going against God. In David's distress, David stopped and called unto the Lord. You know, here's how you detect your heart. What do you do in distress? Where do you turn in distress? Because there's a sharp contrast between David and Ahaz here. In distress, what they did. It's interesting, even Manasseh, who would be Ahaz's grandson, who was a wicked king for a long time, we'll study him after Hezekiah, even Manasseh sought the Lord when he was in a tough time in his life. But not Ahaz. This is that Ahaz. This is that Ahaz that in distress doesn't even turn to the Lord. Decisions that are made by a brazen heart, or you could put the word out to the side, a hardened heart, a calloused heart, an insensitive heart, a stubborn heart that refused to turn to God even when there was distress in his life. In vain did Isaiah, the prophet, warn him, rebuke him, offer him signs, threaten him, urge him to rely upon Jehovah. Oh, he had prophets in his life, but that was all in vain, because he is a picture of how people will be in the end times. Turn over to Revelation chapter 16. What's that brazen heart look like, preacher, in the tribulation period? Well, I think that if you study the 28 judgments of Revelation, you'll find that people will experience a distress that they have never before experienced. The Bible says in verse number 16, or verse 21, describing one of the judgments, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Did they bow down and humble themselves to God? No, they blasphemed God. They're under this distress. Hailstones are falling from heaven. And instead of, God, we give up. God, we confess our sins. Oh no, their hearts only turned more brazen and blasphemed God. That's a bad place to be as a person, is to develop a brazen heart. Ahaz had it. You say, what does this look like, preacher? Well, then it just turns into the decision of a heathen practice. Look at 2 Kings chapter 16, if you will. In Leviticus 18, you're turning to 2 Kings 16, but in Leviticus 18, there was a law given to Israel. And that law goes like this, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Very clear. Okay? Don't let any of your children pass through the fire at Molech. Of Molech. So we're in 2 Kings 16, verse number 3. But he walked in the ways of the king of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. Now watch this. He grew up in Jotham's home. Jotham, godly king. Probably one of the top four godly kings in Judah. And now we're only one generation removed. I mean, this is Jotham's son. And Jotham is passing his children through the fire. Abomination. here. Something that God utterly detests. Something that God says, way off limits. And, well, Ahaz is doing it. Interesting. He is now committed to heathen practices in his life. Preacher, I'll never get there. Beware. You get a brazen heart, you will. You'll do anything that feels good, that you want to do. And now his own children are being sacrificed like the heathen do. Warnings to us. So we identify his mistakes. Number two, we see the intervention of God's mercy. The intervention of God's mercy. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 7, if you will. Isaiah is a contemporary prophet of Ahaz, meaning that he was prophesying. He was speaking forth the word of God during the days of Ahaz. Remember those 200 captive, taken captive, 200,000 people taken captive? So we're in Isaiah 7, and 120,000 killed. I mean, there's damage, there's no doubt. Boy, Judah's been hurt. But let's read Isaiah chapter 7. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. Now, did they do some damage? Well, they did. But it doesn't seem that they prevailed according to the scriptures. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and Ahaz's heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it. Let us make a breach therein for us and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Now God allowed 120,000 to be slain, right? Because they forsook God. And God allowed Judah to be brought low because of Ahaz the king. We read that in the scriptures. But you know what God did not allow? He did not allow Judah to be destroyed totally. That's mercy. It says, and he wanted Ahaz the king to know that. In fact, he sent the prophet of God to tell Ahaz, this wicked king, that he wasn't going to let this confederacy that was formed take Judah altogether. And it says in verse number 10, moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Interesting. And he, Isaiah, said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? And then what does Isaiah breathe? He breathes hope for the future. What is it? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What is that sign? Oh, that sign is, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Do you understand that in the very worst situations of life, God is merciful and always has hope? I mean, they're going to lose 120,000 people. But God sends Isaiah to Ahaz and says, hey, just so you know, Judah's not going to rule, or these enemies are not going to rule Judah. And he not only does that, but if you go back to 2 Chronicles 28, or if you're there, maybe you're already in 2 Chronicles 28. He delivers the 200,000 that are captive. Look at verse number 8. The children of Israel, that's the northern kingdom, carried away captives of their brethren, 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, took also away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there. Was that by accident? But a prophet of the Lord was there. No, it wasn't by accident. Whose name was Oded. And he went out before the host that came to Samaria, that's the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you, but there are not with you, even with you, sins. Are there not with you even sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Then certain heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, Berechiah, Jehizkiah, Amasa, all those guys in verse number 12, and said unto them, Ye shall not bring in the captives hither, for whereas we have offended already against the Lord already, ye intend to add more sins to our sins and to our trespass, for our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes of the congregation, and we know that they were eventually released. 200,000. Mercy. The mercy of God. Were mistakes made? Man, brazen heart Ahaz. Man, dragging your kids through fires, sacrificing your kids on the altars of Molech. Man, no reliance on God. You know, you basically left me out, Ahaz, and you went to a king of Assyria. But in my mercy, I'm going to still show my hand mighty. Now, that's an amazing God, folks. That's a merciful God. Mercy is not something any of us deserve. It wasn't something that Ahaz and the children of Israel deserved here. But he gave them mercy. But we see the increased effects of Ahaz's choices. The increased effects of Ahaz's choices. The last point here. In that, for the Lord brought Judah low. Not only was Ahaz's son Messiah and his second in command Elkanah killed, but all of this was happening, and Assyria in the long run would become the one that would take Israel captive. Took the northern kingdom captive, but now had a grip to some degree on Judah. Thank God. He didn't let them rule it then. But, boy, they left them without treasures in the house of Judah. There were some things that were taken. These points, as we finish up today, spiritual lessons from Ahaz. Number one, my sin and my idolatry can bring about judgment on others. My choices have ripple effects on family, friends, and my church. That is a true statement. We learn it from the life of Ahaz. Judah was brought low. Why? Because of Ahaz. Number two, beware of making decisions on what appeals to your eyes. The one thing I did not cover in this, did not have time to cover, was he went to Damascus and he saw the altars that Damascus made. And so he took one of his priests with him, and they went back and they designed their altars in Jerusalem according to the heathen's altars in Damascus. Why? Because of what he saw. Oh, let's do it like they do it. That's not how we make decisions. Be careful what decisions you make that appeal to your eyes. Number three, God is greatly insulted when we request help from others rather than help from him. Start with God. In your life, financial need, start with God. In your life, relational need, start with God. In your life, health need, start with God. That's the best place to start. And that honors God. That tells him, you know what, God? I believe you're supreme in power. I believe you're supreme in care for me. God, I believe you're supreme in interest. God, I believe you're supreme in availability. I know I can get a hold of you, God, every time. Start with God. Number four, The sin of forsaking a way that has been passed down to you is the beginning of the end in one's life. Ahaz had something good that was passed down to him. He forsook it. Look where it led to in his life. It was the beginning of the end in his life, and it was the beginning of the end in Judah, unless somebody godly comes into the picture, and thankfully he does in the next king. Number five, in wrath, God remembers mercy. In wrath, God remembers mercy. Thank God for that. Human nature is degenerate. Number six, what do you mean? A good Jotham begets a wicked Ahaz. How's this happen? It's called human nature. And no doubt happened here. Ahaz did not respect the Lord as the determiner of what is right. That's a problem. Ahaz did what was right in his own eyes. He did not respect the Lord as the determiner of what is right. Very dangerous place to get as a person, to not let God determine what is right. Number eight, beware of being enamored with the wrong pattern for worship. It's interesting when we read of Ahaz that in verse number 27 of 2 Chronicles 28, it says, "And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulcher of the kings of Israel." Huh. He was not buried with the kings of Israel. He was not buried in the king's place. Could we say it that way? I wonder why. I wonder if they all got to look at this thing and realize, boy, you know what? With Jotham, you know, 16 years ago, we were a lot better shape than we are with Ahaz. Interesting that the Bible makes that note at the end of its description that they brought him not into the sepulchers of the kings of Israel. May we learn these lessons from Ahaz. Hey, that's a bleak story for the most part, except for the mercy of God, right? Hey, isn't your life a bleak story too? Except for the mercy of God? It is. It's a sin-sick story. It's a hopeless story, except for the mercy of God. Rejoice in God's mercy too.